ABC Radio Australia.
We turn now to Guam, where tensions were high last week during a heated public hearing on the island's long-running push for self-determination. At the centre of the storm is a bill that would open a decolonisation plebiscite to all Guam voters rather than native inhabitants only. Previous attempts to limit the vote to the indigenous Chamorro people were struck down by a US federal court, and this new proposal would open the plebiscite to all registered voters, meaning any US citizen who has been a resident on the island for at least 30 days. Now, joining me on the line from Washington, D.C. is Dr. Robert Underwood, former Guam delegate to the United States House of Representatives and is current chair of the Pacific Center for Island Security. With that, I say good morning and welcome to Pacific Beat, Dr. Underwood.
Good morning and good afternoon from Washington, D.C.
Yes, thank you again, Doctor, for joining us. I mean, you were the first to speak at this public hearing, and you strongly opposed this bill. Why was that?
Well, obviously, the whole process of decolonization has to begin with the people who were actually colonized. And, you know, it's really disturbing that people understand the logic of that. And they understand the emotion of that, but they still feel that they have to give in to these so-called constitutionally driven decisions by the U.S. government. And in this instance, as you've characterized it, a person from anywhere who's a U.S. citizen only has to live on Guam 30 days, and then they can participate in a local election. This defies logic. It is unjust, and it's simply wrongheaded.
Yeah, and I can see obviously how this would become very emotionally charged. So because of that, why does this moment then feel particularly significant compared to maybe previous efforts at such a political status vote?
Well, in one sense, we're grateful that the opponents to the to Chamorro self-determination present themselves, because it gives us the opportunity again to remind the community, the island community, and the rest of the world that this is an unresolved issue. At this particular time, the island is undergoing a great deal of militarization, increase in military population. You know, it's anticipated that maybe 5,000 to 10,000 additional military personnel and their dependents could come to Guam over the next 5 years. If that's the case, every single one of them would be eligible to vote in Guam's decolonization. That just is unfair. It's wrongheaded. It's unjust.
Well, Doctor, with the bill itself, it has come about because in 2019, right, the U.S. courts ruled that the Chamorro-only voting registry amounted to racial discrimination under the U.S. Constitution. What do you think, then, of that decision?
Well, obviously, that decision forgot to include the fact that as a political class, the people of Guam who became citizens in 1950 by virtue of a congressional act identified people whose ancestry could be traced back to 1898. And that actually includes some non-Chamorros. So we were trying to adhere to that political definition. And the district court failed to see the logic of that. It's also important to note that Congress has the authority to overcome that by authorizing such a vote. The Guam remains an unincorporated territory, which means that the U.S. Congress can apply or exempt constitutional rights and privileges and application of the Constitution of Guam. So under a kind of a strict scrutiny definition. So there is that possibility. And of course, various advocates on Guam have gone to international bodies and have made their case. But I still think the United States has to hold itself responsible for that, even to begin the conversation on that. You know, New Caledonia, in a way, performs a useful function, because at least in that instance, the French government is in active conversation with the local government about how to conduct the plebiscite. In Guam's case, there is no such conversation. They've decided that this is the way it should be held, and there is no further discussion. So I think the federal government needs to come clean and start talking about this, at least in the same way that France talks to New Caledonia.
But do you think there is still a legally viable pathway for Chamorro's self-determination that respects constitutional constraints?
Yes, if the U.S. Congress decides to do so, because the Guam is an unincorporated territory and Congress has plenary authority, and they can decide in this one instance to not apply constitutional constraints. And I think that takes obviously it takes a lot of education and a lot of leadership, but the door is not absolutely closed.
Now, Dr. Guam has been on the United Nations list of non-self-governing territories since 1946. I'd like to know, what has this decolonization struggle looked like over the past 80 years, and why has it been so difficult to resolve?
Well, it's sort of dispiriting. And, you know, the U.S. government has, unfortunately, many leaders of Guam have said that the U.N. has no business in this conversation. An organization I belong to, an OPR, in 1982 made the first presentation to the U.N. I made that presentation. And I think since that time, the people of Guam have been galvanized and trying to and actually use the UN definition of what constitutes a political status resolution, which is statehood, integration, which is statehood in the U.S. system, free association or full independence. So there has been some progress, but of course we have to get over this constitutional impediment.
And just to ask, what are your concerns about if this bill were to pass, Doctor, what is the impact you think it would have on Guam?
Well, it would be destructive of the Chamorro people, because the Chamorro people are not just a cultural entity, they're a political entity as well. And that's that would be the final point. So I remain confident that it will not pass. But it is disturbing that for the first time in Guam's colonial history, someone in the legislature has seen fit to introduce this bill. I think it won't pass. I think this has generated a lot of opposition and in a way has galvanized the self-determination effort again.
Doctor, I understand that there are more public hearings to come. What do you want to see happen moving forward?
I want the sponsor to withdraw the bill. And I've suggested that he should withdraw the bill and engage in real conversations with the people of Guam, the Chamorro people of Guam, to see what they have, what needs to happen. The main sponsor has done some conversations, but I don't believe he fully understands it. It's ironic that this sponsor of this, his father was also a member of the legislature, and his father had testified for Chamorro self-determination in front of the United Nations in the 1990s.
I mean, I do have to quickly ask before we sort of close up, Doctor, are you saying that there has been no real conversation? I mean, how has the public reacted to this situation?
Oh, the public is outraged, the individual, Senator Parkinson, has not had these kinds of conversations with the broader community. So I believe that if he withdraw the bill and have a broader conversation, that he would come to understand it and seek alternative ways, including constitutionally sanctioned ways through the U.S. Congress and through federal authority.
Dr. Look, we want to say thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your insight into the situation.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you again. That was Dr. Robert Underwood, former Guam delegate to the United States House of Representatives.